Hey everybody, the show's about to begin, but before we get started, here are some words from our newest sponsors.
No matter what you do in the bathroom to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. They have amazing shower stuff, hair styling products, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and of course, razors and shave supplies.
I use these products every day, George. The Amber and Lavender Body Wash is how I start my morning off. I get my body all nice and smooth, and then I switch over to the Big Cloud Good Shake Hand Cream. I love that stuff. But that's how I get ready. You're not me. You have to have your own way to get ready. You might shave your whole body to get ready for a bike race. Dollar Shave Club's Executive Razor and Shave Butter can help with that. You might do your hair to get ready for a soccer match. Boogies by Dollar Shave Club can help with that. It can get your style on point. The thing is, no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need.
And right now, you can get ready with an amazing deal on any one of their starter sets. I recommend the Daily Essentials starter set because I love Amber Lavender Body Cleanser. That's right. I love it. But you can't go wrong with any of them. Head over to thedollarshaveclub.com/junkie to pick up your own DSC starter set for just $5. After your starter set, products ship at a regular price. And make sure you check out their new video, too. That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie, dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
This is your captain speaking. We are making our descent into Las Vegas McCarran Airport. On behalf of our crew, we'd like to thank you for flying MMA Junkie Airlines. Now please fasten your seatbelts and put your tray tables in your upright position because the descent is going to be a little bit bumpy.
All right, Junkie Nation, it's time to roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. All night long, we rollin'! Yes!
The MMA Junkie Radio revolution is upon us.
Can you dig it?
There's no escape.
No escape.
Through the vast frontier of cyberspace and through a sea of stars in outer space.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We've solidified our combat communication stranglehold.
We are controlling transmission.
With the use of MMA Junkie Radio and SiriusXM satellite radio technology.
MMA Junkie Radio. Commence transmission.
Live from MMA Junkie Radio HQ in the fight capital of the world. Las Vegas, Nevada. Here are your hosts, Gorgeous George and Goz.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, LA Dodger fan extraordinaire. To my left, it's the fight analyst, Dan Tom.
Also a Dodger fan.
Also a Dodger fan, that's right. Back east, not a Dodger fan, is Danny Olkers.
He's gonna be.
Is he really?
Gonna be. If the Dodgers make it to the World Series, I'm rooting against the Red Sox, so I'm rooting for the Dodgers.
Ah, that's right. Congrats to the Red Sox for advancing. They defeated the Houston Astros 4-1. Not much of a title defense, man. You got to go down swinging more than 4-1, right?
I was a little surprised by that. I thought it would be closer.
When the Cubs, a few years ago, and the Astros last year won, everybody said this could be part of a run because they were young and talented. But both teams came up short in their bid to go back-to-back. Like I told Joe from H-Town, they were a good team, but not a great team. The great teams go back-to-back. The legendary teams three-peat. So, little difference there. How's you guys' weekend lining up? What you got planned, Dan?
I don't know. I'm going to hit up some friends, see what they're doing tonight, taking advantage of a no-major event. I do plan on watching the PFL tomorrow. But yeah, gonna try to be social, and get some of that take in some of that medicine. You know, we get so wrapped in this MMA bubble of ours. Any special things for you guys?
Goz,
I'm gonna be the opposite of him, and for this weekend, I'm gonna do nothing.
Nice,
because I had 5 weeks of back. I celebrated my birthday for 5 weeks.
Mm. Jeez.
So now nothing, and then back.
We are
to
opposite
being fun again.
That, yeah.
You're just gonna be at home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good.
I think so.
Now we know who's emptying the fridge, taking out the trash, picking up the poop.
It's game planning over here.
Yeah, I was kind of concerned about that, but now I know I can go be a free bird and do what I want since Ghost is holding down the fort. See how he walked into that one? Tonight is FFC. I have an extra ticket. You want to go?
FFC? I wouldn't wait on me because, again, I already sent out my messenger. Like I said, I sent out messenger
birds
to my friends already.
FFC 32. Remember Orsat Zofko, who was here?
Yeah.
He's doing the whole they had a slight delay and, you know, getting off the ground. Well, really, like he shared with us, this thing should have happened months ago. Hmm. But then finally they had pegged September 28th to launch, and then there was yet another hiccup. It cost them their main event because I saw Satoshi Ishii on a card in Europe somewhere. But they got going last Friday, and so now I believe it's going to be a consistent Friday event. So Stitch Duran, good friend of the show, I'm going to go out there support and check it out. It's at the Rio All Suites Hotel. They go out of their way to specify that because every single room in the Rio is a suite. I think they're like 700 square feet, so you have like additional living room and two queen beds, but. The key to it all is that's the type of room where you can pile in like seven dudes if you're on a budget, or four girls and three guys or whatever. You can a big group can pile in. It's only one bathroom, but still save a little bit of money. That's what me and my buddies used to do back in the day. Rio was our spot. They had a real nice club called Club Rio. It was it in town. It.
I'm and then of course from that place.
From where?
From the Club Rio. I'm not allowed back into that place.
Do you have a poop story too?
No. I've told you this, though, with Alton. Alton's told this story a million times.
I haven't heard it.
I got in a fight with a dwarf.
A porn star. It rings a bell. Yeah. But check it out.
Oh, no. Yeah. Is it the Voodoo Lounge?
Huh?
Is it the Voodoo? No, Voodoo. No. Yeah.
Voodoo Lounge is at
Club,
the top.
Club Rio. Oh, yeah, no. Whatever's at the very top, I can't go back there no more.
Okay. When was that?
It was a long time ago. You can go back. I know.
Yeah, you can go back. I had a buddy that sold a ticket, and they intimidated him by telling him, you're never welcome to your 86. It was here at Mandalay Bay. It was back in 2002, 2003.
I know a fighter that can't do that.
And he's been back since. So, you know, I think that's just a tactic to kind of keep you away for a while. But now, if you were like
you saw that?
Uber famous, what?
Is that a dog?
No. All right, out of my peripheral vision, that trash can just lifted up on its own and went down. But I think somebody was on the other side, I think, and they were lifting it to see if they could take it out. Sorry, that was weird. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
That was freaky.
I only
it
live
just lifted up on its own.
I only live with a dog, so any kind of movement in my house, it's usually just a dog's tail wagging. Oh, that's my dog just hanging out there. So it's funny. I saw that at the trash can. I'm like, I couldn't identify it. I'm like, oh, it must be a dog's tail wagging, even though we're in a casino. That's
probably
that's,
custodian or something. But we do have dogs.
But
we
stuck her hand through the rail and then lifted it up, I think, to see if there was trash and then put it back down. But it just looked like a ghost or something.
We do have patrol dogs.
There's a lot today.
Patrol dogs?
Not patrol dogs, but just regular dogs. There must be something going on.
Service dogs?
No, just regular dogs. Because there was at least 10 of them when I walked in.
Wow.
Were you saying in the pre-show that Circus had weekly dog fights?
No. They had a...
George just looked at me like, what?
You remember this. Back in the day, because before we went to the pre-show, there was...
remember this?
I said, is that a kangaroo or something like that? And then Dan goes, yeah, I think it's a kangaroo. And Danny didn't really know what we were talking about. We were looking at the big screen. Mm-hmm. I told them that back in the day, Circus, who, by the way, turned 50 years old either today or yesterday, they used to have a fight upstairs where you see acrobats do their thing, like a daily show. It used to be a dwarf versus a kangaroo in boxing twice a night. They would fight.
Wow, I forgot about that.
But it's true, right? You remember,
this is definitely
right?
Before the social justice age.
If I was swearing on a stack of Bibles, I'd say I don't remember that.
Oh, it's definitely true.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, but because some things just don't record in my memory.
He would get lit up, dude, night after night. Sometimes I think he'd even get KO'd.
And then they just grab the kangaroo and take him back to a zoo or something? Or?
No. I don't know. They had him on like a leash, and then he would they would just stand there, and then he would, boom, he'd throw kicks, you know, and he'd hit him.
Oh, no.
But he would also kind of do, like, a little bit of a punch, but not really.
The kangaroo had gloves on him?
Yeah, he had gloves on.
Wow.
Did the dwarf ever try to, like, spare time in the clinch, you know, duck in the pouch, you know, to kill time?
Dude, he would get annihilated. Watch, I'll pull up the video right now.
Can't grab the chunks, can't grab the pouch.
Well, like, in the 70s, they'd have talk shows with kangaroos, and those things would, pardon my French, earmuffs, fuck up normal people. Yeah, they would bring them up
koalas
on, like.
Koalas are bad, too.
And they would do that.
Like, talk shows? What do you mean talk show? Oh, they'd bring them onto a talk show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought he went through the interview process.
Well, yeah, well, like, because, you know, like, they would do, like, skits, like, more with, like, orangutans in the 70s and 80s, and, like, it was more of a gag, you know, like, doing, yeah, like, live animal things before the consequences, those statistics started piling up, and they're like, yeah, and the organizations and safety movements started kind of moving in. But,
right.
The good old days when America was great.
I really don't remember what he was saying, but I've seen a few of the YouTube stuff you said. Not necessarily on a talk show, just kind of out. Maybe it looks like a fairgrounds or whatever. Why are there a lot of people here today in the sports book? Is there early baseball?
Mm. No. No, our game's horse at racing? 5:30, I think.
Maybe there's horse racing. Breeders' Cup or something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Older white dude, so you can stereotype from there what the sport
must
is.
Must be horse racing.
There we go.
Or baseball. All right. I think you finished your story, right?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a digits fight.
Okay.
I need to go back in time for this.
Yesterday, I saw Derek Lewis at the UFC PI, and he was caught a little bit by surprise about this media scrum.
Yeah.
He walked into the room.
That's him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they would brawl every night, twice a night.
Oh, that's amazing.
Definite size difference there. You could tell when he walked into the room, he was like, what? You guys tricked me. I could hear him telling one of the UFC people. Because I think they were just going there for some medicals or something like that. But, you know, they took advantage of the fact that he was there. And then the thing with Derek is he'll always say something, kind of give you a serious face, and then give you a smile, a teddy bear smile. But he was saying, okay, but on fight week, I'm not doing any. And then teddy bear smile. So you can never tell, like, if he was really putting his foot down or what. A lot of athletes, they just reach a point where they, hey, man, this is the one time I'm not doing any media. There's a fighter that did that with PFL recently, so who was very accessible in the past. But, yeah, you know, we spoke, and, well, not just me, him, and I. I mean, the whole group of you know, the Vegas people that had gathered there. And he's going to give you, in my opinion, a solid two rounds. And just like any other fighter, his energy bar, his gas tank, it will start to drop. Now, I believe his will drop quicker than Daniel Cormier. It'd be like if they both had 14-gallon tanks, but one guy's a V8 and the other one's, you know, a four-cylinder or whatever. And so Daniel, who I don't think will be in optimal shape because he hasn't had the opportunity to prepare for this fight like you did, for example, with Stipe. They announced that in January when they said, these two are coaching, and they'll fight in July. This one's been different. But he swears that he's going to be 100%, that any knocks he took against Volkov, he's clear of them. He was asked point blank, wait a minute, you took some damage, and you had an initial 30-day suspension, which puts you to November 6th. What happened? He took his time. He once again had a smile, a coy smile, but he said, we went back and we talked to the doctor and I got cleared and they reduced it. So another thing that came out of it that I thought was pretty interesting was John Morgan from MMA Junkie said, how much was that punch worth? And if you'll recall, when we had him on the show recently, I told him, Derek, man, that's great that you still had the heart, the drive, the resolve. You didn't quit because Volkov, he was having a good night, and it looked like you might be on your way to losing a decision. But with 11 seconds left, you finished the fight. You won your $130,000 show win bonus. It was public, 130 and 130 for Derek Lewis, plus 50 Gs. So I remember telling him that punch was worth 185. John took it a step further and goes, how much was that punch worth when you factor that those two in and what you're getting paid? And Derek took his time. I know in the past he's told us, wow, y'all are nosy, you know, when it comes to money a little bit. He doesn't seem to be too put off by the questions, but it's a little uncomfortable for him. He seems to be a bit of a private guy. So he takes his time, thinks about it, but then he said about $1 million. So that 185 plus, you got to imagine, maybe he's getting 750, 800, somewhere around that area, where because he won the fight and now he's fighting, they came to him probably with some sort of an incentive, a bonus maybe.
Another fighter. That.
So good for him. You know, I always wish it was more.
Yeah.
But that's up to them to negotiate. As grown men, you know, you go in there and you say, yeah, yeah, give me this, you know, as a fighter. And, you know, you can complain about it afterward, but you had your chance at that moment. So, but I was happy for him because, you know, he says, I'm in it to make money. The belt don't matter. He goes, I won't disrespect it. It'll probably just be put away, you know, somewhere in my home, my closet, I think he said. But I want to take care of my family. But then I asked him, so coming out of that, will you push for Brock versus Stipe? Because he did make a point. Hey, that could have been Stipe's shot against DC. But he carried a lot of momentum coming out of UFC 229. And he said, no, he goes, Stipe kind of deserves it, so it'll probably be him, you know. But then I said, Derek, but you've told us on many occasions, including today, you fight for money. The equation is, once you're champ, you get pay-per-views, and Brock is a bigger seller than Stipe. And he thought about it, but he still said, well, whatever the UFC decides. But I hope that sits with him, you know, because that really is a difference of about probably what Brock, I don't think, goes less than a million pay-per-views, yeah. Right?
I doubt it.
And more Stipe, now. I don't think, sold more than five. I think him and Verdum or somebody got up to about 470. So that could be quite a difference there. But that was my little visit to the PI. I only asked a couple questions. You know, most of them had their cameras and they were doing their thing. And
but
it was cool.
He made more, too, because didn't a fighter on that card say that they were told from the beginning they were going to make more?
Yeah, that's what he was referencing.
Anybody remember?
I thought it might have been him, to be honest, when I was listening to the interview. But it was someone on this show that we talked to.
I remember that.
If you guys want to shuffle through that. But I was listening to this scrum that George was talking about this morning, and I didn't know you were there. It was a pleasant surprise to hear your voice, George. And to your point, yeah, Derek did seem kind of caught off guard. And anybody's listening to the interviews, even with guys who's got rapport with like you guys, you know, it's hard to get any good, you know, solid nuggets, if you will, out of him. And he did drop some, but credit to, I want to say, you and John Morgan. You know, I know it's the homer credit that I'm giving, obviously, from the same team, but you know, obviously you guys both, for different reasons, just covering the sport, obviously, mainly just to have rapport with Derek. And you know, he even made a comment about not enjoying media and having the same questions asked, but you guys kind of were spaced out at the right times where I think it kind of gave a bump and kind of kept him in the fight, so to speak. And you know, the viewers and the other interviews, of course, benefited from it. So I think it was real crucial, not just John, but you being there. So good on you, man. You guys did great.
Thank you. And I also sensed that he really meant that part about different questions.
Yes.
And a gentleman named Ron. God, I wish I should just write these names down and remember them, because I see these guys a lot.
The guy from the local news?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Older guy, good nice voice. Guy. He went back a year and talked about the hurricane, the floods in Houston, and Derek. You know, the community work he did there by helping many people out. And he tied it into what's happening recently in Florida. So once he was on that, I thought, well, yeah, that is something different. So let's continue with that. And I asked him if he kept in touch with any of those people that he wound up helping from the neighborhood. The neighborhood's over, and he said he did, and they become fans of his, and because he's been on quite a run, you know, since then.
Even our friend via text the other day.
Yeah,
can we say that? Or
yeah.
General Malcolm Frost that
watched
here.
The fight, yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then the other thing I thought of was, he's just such a proud Houston guy. Even though he's from Louisiana, he says H-Town became. And I asked him, I go, the Astros going to come back because they're down 3-1. And he looked at me and then he goes, next question. And I'm thinking, you just said he wants some different types of questions.
Yeah, I saw that.
But then
he did
wind up saying, yeah, they'll come back. But you could tell that wasn't too confident that they'll come back. Because Boston just seemed to be on a roll. And, of course, Boston closed things out yesterday. But, yeah, it was good. And I'm glad to see him in a good state of mind. And he swears that he really is upping his training, which he's kind of told us a few times that on this show. But he says, I really am upping it. And man, what more do you want, honestly?
Yeah.
You come out of that fight, you are exhausted and damaged, but you recoup. But you only have to train for, what, two hard weeks? And then you got the next fight with a big payday. That's not a bad boat to be in. That's what happened to Bisping. Bisping was filming a movie, and they go, hey, man, someone dropped out. I don't even remember. Who was Rockhold supposed to fight then at L.A., UFC 199? Anybody remember?
I thought that was Weidman, the rematch, right?
Weidman? Okay.
Yeah, it could have been.
So whoever was, yeah, that guy drops out, and they go, Bisping, come in. And so Bisping's like, you know, he's usually pretty much in shape. And so he just said, I'm just going to run. But he didn't go through the ups and downs of a training camp. Yep. oh, man, the shoulders are going to be good in time for the fight. The weight's not coming off. This knee, you know, or whatever. It all happens so quick that next thing you know, you go in there and it's like, fuck it. It's just a fight, you know. And next thing you know, he wins a world title.
Yeah. Lieben, could Lieben be in the did same. That too.
Yeah. Who?
Lieben.
He won a world title?
No, he didn't win. But he did the, remember? It was even less than 2 days.
Aaron Simpson, Akiyama.
It was like 8 days.
That's right.
Like
that.
And we were just
with bonuses.
Yep. And we were just talking about that Bisping one last night. I don't want to tip my hand too much on my podcast, but that fight came up, and it was the ironic part was not just I was bringing up the odds, how slanted the odds were, but the odds were not just slanted for any title fight, not just any fight. You know, Rockhold never been favored that much. Bisping never been an underdog that much. But Bisping came into that fight the most confident he's ever been, despite the lack of preparation, despite this. And granted, yeah, he was coming off the Anderson Silva one, but let's not forget the Anderson Silva one was a similar context to Derek Lewis Volkov. They were big wins where the guy got banged up and had to overcome a lot of adversity.
Yeah,
that was probably, you know, it could argue was down rounds. You know, I mean, it was right. They were similar in that sense. Not as dramatic.
You're right,
because
Lewis just fought 3 weeks ago and got the word 3 weeks ago that he'll be fighting. Right. Whereas Bisping at least was able to recover, but did have the time.
Right.
But it's 3 weeks, and really it's only 2 weeks of training where you don't have to hear, "Are you gonna be ready to go?" You know, are you? This fight just happened, and you've come up short in previous big fights. You're not hearing all that. It all happens so quick that you get to fight week, and boom, it's time to perform. I think that. That 8 week ride, 10, 12 for some, can be so long that you do have some bad days. And if you don't get past those bad days and turn them into a good, solid day of training or a good week of training, it can be a setback. You never know. But, I think I'm feeling a little bit more warmed up to UFC 230. We have our concerns. Yeah, today's Cormier, I won't be able to make it for that one. But I'm sure he'll give an update on his finger. And I know John and Kenny will be there, so keep it on MMA Junkie, and you'll get to see that one.
Can you say where you were this morning?
I got a haircut.
Oh. You know you left your phone?
Yeah.
And I almost took it and brought it here, but then I noticed you had left your bag, and to me that says he's going to go home still.
So yesterday...
I thought maybe you went to Audi, and so I was like, he's going to be trapped at Audi with no phone.
I needed to go there, but I Jimmy Scissors has been booking up like... It used to be like 2 days in advance and you're good, and now he's like almost a week and a half. And then yesterday he goes, I got an opening, and it was late. And I go, and he said 7 a.m. I go, yeah, let's do it.
Brutal.
So I went down there, I got a haircut, and but on the way out, I think I was carrying some stuff for the cleaners, so I just put it down for a second. Mm. But yeah, that's where I went.
Would you have figured it out if I had just brought your phone? Ooh, I was thinking about I figured. Maybe you would even try and go home. So I was like, all right,
I wanted a shower.
So then I thought maybe I'll leave a note, a big note that says I have
the note would help, but if not, I know I wouldn't have time to really.
If you ever want to see this phone again.
Worry about it.
Because I thought, like, he has to do the preview, so maybe he took his laptop.
I'd have my laptop, and I'd be able to text you and just go, did you take it?
I didn't know what to do. I actually sat there for, like, 10 minutes trying to figure out every scenario.
Just stand there.
So this Overeem drew a newcomer called Pavlovich. For UFC Beijing co-main event? Did Beijing need that? Why not grab Overeem and give him a stud in New York? Or well, maybe not New York.
That's
but
a huge salary to be putting
on
a card like
that. Or throw him
that.
On Vegas or Argentina. I don't know. I thought Beijing did well last time, and I just don't know that it's a market that is as hardcore as us, though, where we're sifting through it going, oh, man, that fight on Fox, that leads into the pay-per-view, and you need to have an opening bout that's a banger, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
But, all right, I mean, I see it kind of as a waste against Pavlovich. Who's Pavlovich?
He's the FNG champion, which is funny. Fight Night's
legit.
Global. I haven't seen a lot of them, to be honest. I got to go back and watch. I haven't watched a lot of Fight Night's Global, unless they had, like, crazy one-offs, like with Fedor or like, what's his name, Krylov.
Oh, cool.
Krylov and guys like that. But I like the headlines right now. It's a little underappreciated wordplay there. You know, Alistair Overeem draws newcomer FNG champion, and FNG, for people that don't know, is an acronym and used in Vietnam times mainly for, pardon my French again, earmuffs people, fucking new guy. So that FNG, look at this FNG. So it's kind of appropriate that, who's he facing? Awesome FNG champion.
Okay.
So just a little added wordplay there.
Wait, doesn't
I
he
see
make
here
like
he's 12-0, so maybe he is legit. Maybe Pavlovich knocks him out. We're all coming in there going, how about Pavlovich on the next Vegas card?
Yeah.
It can all change like
catch
that.
Up on him.
He makes like a minimum of 800,000, right? per fight, guaranteed.
Yeah.
That's a big salary to be sending over there.
Right.
But they got, that's the thing. They don't have a lot of people to send over there for those kind of cards. And again, you know, they want to give the Asian fans a big spectacle. Like it's a goddamn Godzilla movie. Sorry.
There's some good pieces up here. I read the one about Dillashaw. Says he's still hostile with Garbrandt. And we haven't heard from Garbrandt. I know he had to take that loss hard, man. That's 0-2. You're now Rich Franklin. When you're 0-2 against the champ, and all you can do is just float around and hope Dillashaw loses, and then you make your move.
But
they talked so much that's you have to eat crow at this point, you know. And that one hurt him and Team Alpha Male, and you know, there's just nothing to do. The other story I can't wait to read. I just saw it right now. It says Lee, and it's talking about Andrea Lee. Angela Lee from ONE Championship. Andrea Lee from the UFC reflects on fallout from husband's Nazi tattoo controversy and alleged abuse. So somebody must have caught up with her recently. But the reason I bring it up is on Twitter the other day I read that the husband's still on the run.
Wow,
that's how long's that manhunt? Like the authorities are looking for him.
At least
month?
A month, right?
Yeah.
How long does it take to check all the Cracker Barrels?
I don't know what's gonna happen, you know, with that one. Anyway, all right, let's take a break because I know we have two guests and they're a little bit earlier in the show than usual. So right now we're gonna go with first one up, Anthony Smith, who headlines UFC Fight Night 138 in Moncton, I believe, Canada. And he'll be fighting Volkan Ozdemir. First him, and then we can take some calls, keep talking about some news, and then Boss Rudin will join us at the top of the hour. And then after that, the second hour is really, really wide open, so we can coast to the finish line on another fine week of MMA Junkie Radio. So stay close, and we'll be right back.
Hey, idiot. Yeah, you. Can you please tap that rather large fellow on the shoulder and tell him it's time for more MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goes? Thank you.
Get the radio channel numbers and a link to listen to your favorite NFL, college football, NBA, or NHL team sent right to your smart device. Just go to SiriusXM.com/sports today and click Add to My Calendar. All right, joining us next on the program, he's going to be headlining UFC Fight Night 138, which takes place next Saturday, so a week from tomorrow, and it's in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. He'll be facing against Volkan Ozdemir, and this is the light heavyweight division we're talking about. Joining us now on the hotline is Anthony Lionheart Smith. What's up, Anthony? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, my man. How was camp? It's done, right?
It was done. I finished it up yesterday and drove through the night and got home about 5 o'clock this morning. So it was great, man. No injuries. We pushed really, really hard. So I'm excited to show what we've been working on.
And you got to eat pretty much whatever you wanted, correct? That's the difference between these 20 pounds of this move that you recently made?
Oh, yeah. It's been great, man. Not having to step on the scale every day and stress about it. I'm fat and happy, man. I'm well fed, and it's really been showing in my training, you know.
Man, I'm happy for you, because these last few years have really been highlighted in terms of seeing so many fighters just move up a division, and see them fight more frequently. They seem to be healthier, and they're definitely happier. And even though you might sacrifice a little bit of size to some of the guys that still insist on cutting, I still feel like it's better for your overall career now. I'm more convinced of that, and your long-term living. You know, you're not gonna fight forever. You're gonna be, you know, a family guy and a friend and a son and a uncle and all that stuff for many more years past this.
Yeah, absolutely. I say this all the time, man. I wish that everyone in the UFC could feel the way that I feel right now, moving into fight week and moving into the fight. Just the quality of life is so much better, and the things that you can do in a training camp when you're happy and you're not miserable, it's just amazing the amount of growth that you can have in such a short period of time. But just changing one thing that seemingly is not that big of a deal, but turns out that it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, completely agree. All right. So, again, the frequency of fights. This will be your fourth fight in 2018. You're riding a two-fight win streak, both of them since your move to light heavyweight. And five of your last six fights have been wins, and they've been destructive wins. Have you raised the bar on yourself so high that you – do you apply any pressure to yourself on just keep on being exciting, proving that I'm a main event fighter, proving that I should be fighting for a title soon? Like, have you raised the bar just on your own because of how devastating you have been?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I want to be a better version of myself every – I know it sounds super fucking cliche, but I want to be a better version of myself every time I go, and I want to bring a different product to the table. I don't want to become predictable, you know, even if it's small changes, you know, I just want to keep adding to it. So being exciting isn't necessarily something that I think about. I think you're just exciting or you're not, you know. I think it really comes down to who you are as a person and who – like who you are, like deep down in your soul, you know, like, are you the person that's going to do the bare minimum to stay away from damage and win the points battle? Or are you someone who's just going to jump in the fire? And if you get burnt, you get burnt. And that, you know, that tends to be more my style. You know, I don't think I could be, you know, a quote unquote points fighter or someone who's just trying to grind out decisions. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I have the patience for that. You know, if the game plan was to grind Volkan out, you know, after the first and second round, I would get sick of that shit, and I just want a firefight. You know, I don't think I could do that. So, I as far as being better, the pressure is definitely there. But as far as exciting, I think that's just who I am.
You know, I think of Derek Lewis. He, you know, he's got 21 wins. 18 of them have been stoppages from KO/TKO. And then he fought that Ngannou fight. You remember that one this past summer. Remember it was boring. Mm-hmm. Even he said it, oh man, that was my worst fight ever, and Dana said it was the worst ones he ever saw. And of course, it seemed like the equity he had built with his fans, or with MMA fans in general, it just wasn't enough. A lot of people were like, what the fuck, that sucked, you suck. And you know, it took a toll on him, but he was able to shake it off. And then he comes out, things aren't going well with Volkov, but he still fights to the bitter end. Gets a KO with 11 seconds to go, and now look at him. He's headlining MSG in a world title shot. That's incredible. And so the reason I bring it up is because as exciting as you've been and everything, I always wonder what kind of pressure is mounting for you guys in terms of delivering the goods, knowing that the fans, the media can just tear you down, even in a winning performance that just wasn't exciting. But it seems like mentally you're pretty strong and ready to – and you're not worried about that, and that's a good thing.
No, I don't even think about that. I mean, I've never thought going into a fight, you know, whether it's weeks out or the week of the fight or even the day, that I needed to be exciting. I just do what I do, and for whatever reason, I was just gifted with the ability to just be in exciting fights. You know, I've literally never thought about it going into a fight that I need to make this exciting. It's just how it is, and you know, sometimes I'm on the bad end of those, you know what I mean? Like the Thiago Santos fight, there was a much easier path to victory than the one that I tried to take, you know? And that's just who I am, you know? I know that there was easier ways to beat Thiago, but that I just can't bring myself to do it. I don't know what it is. It would be harder for me to make a fight boring than it would to be exciting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would have to not do a lot of things that I really want to do, and it's just not my nature.
Anthony Smith is our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio. He's 13-2 in his last 15. He's won five of his last six, and he's on a two-fight win streak since he's moved up to light heavyweight. Also in that five out of six run, he's picked up three bonuses, and all of his fights have been stoppages. A couple in the first round, a couple in the second, a couple in the third, man. It's an incredible run he's on. He's definitely one of the fighters out there that can have one of them wallets that says badass motherfucker like Jules on Pulp Fiction, because he has been just taking names. All right, goes. What do you have for Anthony Smith?
Anthony, in a main event fight, it's a bigger fight, a little bit more money. Sometimes we hear fighters get to it, it becomes one of the first times that they get to spend a little bit more money on their camp and bring people in. Did you do any of that?
Yeah. We brought in. I borrowed one of Stipe's training partners for a week, and then we brought in another guy from California. And it's really not anything other than I just need a couple big bodies that I don't really know that I can kind of just let loose on a little bit. You know what I mean? That I don't have to, because sometimes in training, you know, you don't all the way pull the trigger because, you know, you see these people every day and these are your friends and your training partners and stuff like that. And I just needed some guys that were similar to Vulcan's height and style. And I just needed them to not give a fuck who I am and just push forward and just try to take me out. You know what I mean? And I think that was a good move. You know, it was a good push. And I made a couple good buddies out of it, you know, so it's good all around. But other than that, man, we kept everything pretty much the same. Same gym, same coaches, same the rest of the training partners, all the same. And, you know, we pushed the conditioning part of it a little bit harder than normal just because of the pace that I believe this fight's going to be fought at. And I think that that's a place that I can take advantage of Vulcan.
You ready for a stupid question?
Let's hear it. I'm ready.
All right. You know that Mega Millions? It's over a billion now. If you won that, you'd never fight again, right? Or do you have that in you where you have to do it?
I think I would still fight. I really,
really?
Do. I think so. I think that it's never, well, here's the deal. It's never been about the money to me. It's never been about, you know, I'm just, like I say all the time, I'm a small town Nebraska dude. I didn't get into this for fortune and fame. The only thing I've ever wanted is a gold belt around my waist, and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to rest until that happens. I don't, and that's one of the most terrifying things in the world to me. There's not that many people walk in the world that get to say that they were a UFC champion, and it's a really tall task, and it's a really hard thing to accomplish. And one of the scariest things in the world to me is if that never happens, I'm never going to be able to say when it's time. You know what I mean? I'd end up being one of these guys in their 50s trying to still fight. You know what? I've always said world champion or die trying, and I really believe that that's the truth. It's got to happen or I'm going to have a really horrible rest of my life.
Man, that's one of the best answers to a question I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I'm sure you made a lot of fans just from hearing that. That's what fans love to hear. At Lionheart Smith, folks, give him a follow. All right, the fight analyst, Dan Tom, he's ready for you. Dan, what do you have for Anthony Smith?
Yeah, man, on that same note, you know, perhaps I'm media, so I shouldn't admit this, but I got no problem admitting it. You know, just following the sport, Anthony's story has been a real fun one to watch. I know our own John Morgan has his own take on it, obviously, that story is much more known. And it's funny, you know, I my write-ups for you, Anthony, I used to have to write you up as, you know, when I'm introducing, like, as unheralded contender and things like that, but I can't say that anymore, man. You're on everybody's radar now, dude, and it's great to see, but obviously you got a serious fight, all serious, and you got a serious fight ahead of you, man, but staying on this topic of progress in training, you train with one of the coaches I don't feel that gets enough credit. I enjoy watching him in the corner work. That's Mark Montoya. I feel like we're seeing and hearing his name more, though, with fighters flocking to him. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Have you been with Mark for a minute? And if you have, like I'm presuming, have you noticed a more influx as far as his stock and stable?
Yeah. I've been with Mark for a little while, you know, about 2.5 years now. 2 years for sure. You know, I already had some mutual friends, Brian Rogers and Chris Camozzi, that I kind of came up, you know, in the regional scene with, that have been with Mark since pretty much the beginning. I think Mark brought Chris Camozzi up from being just a nobody off the street, you know. And so I've known Chris for a long time, and that was kind of my connection to Factory X, and I knew that I needed to be better, and I needed to do better, and that's where I wanted to go. When I went there, James Krause and Zach Cummings were already kind of traveling in and out, kind of doing part of their camps there. But as far as, you know, guys coming from out of town and really doing full camps there, I think I'm kind of in that first little influx of people. And since then, man, it's been a crazy growth in the gym, man. It's just like every time you go in, you know, every time I come back from camp or come back from a new camp or I come in, I try to do like 5 to 8 days a month there just for skill building in between fights. So there's always some new killer, you know, from somewhere else who's either checking the gym out or they just moved there or whatever. But I think one of the coolest things about Factory X is a lot, I would say the majority of the gym is homegrown, the Colorado residents. And I think that that's really where the culture comes from. You know, it's been grown from the ground up. It's not like there was one big star and everyone flocked there. You know, that's where Joe Warren was his entire career. He's been with Mark almost from the beginning. And, you know, we've seen what he was able to do. And Mark just wasn't really getting his due at that point in time. So seeing it grow as much as it has, it's not only helped me because you got all these guys coming up that are, they're just hungry, you know, and I'm just, you know, half the time I feel like I'm fighting for my life because these guys just want it so damn bad.
And, you know, just one follow-up on that. You know, you're talking about how, you know, your style and being exciting and it's something that you don't think that's just – it's just in your blood at this point, right? And you've been fighting for a minute. You're familiar with yourself, obviously. But Mark, it seemed like – you know, you correct me if I'm wrong here, Anthony. It seemed like it'd be an interesting contrast because, like I said, I like how he works with guys in the corner. He's really calming. He really seems like he can guide guys through that fire well. So, A, does that contrast well with your style, or are you finding that in this two-year period? And B, more importantly, how do you see that playing into this fight? Because Ozdemir, obviously, you know, training with more of a game plan-oriented camp and TriStar, and though you could argue Ozdemir is a process-like fighter, he's also a guy that doesn't seem like he'll turn down a firefight if you bring it to him either.
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head with Mark kind of contrasting my mentality. You know, there's a lot of times and there's a lot of key words that we use when I'm fighting that probably, if you guys really pay attention, won't make any goddamn sense at all. But to me, I know exactly what he's saying. And he, sometimes it's him reining me in a little bit. And it's almost as if I have a leash on and Mark will let it out a little bit. And then when he'll start giving me key words and he'll have to rein me back in just a little bit, just enough to be safe and chill out a little bit. Because he knows he knows me so well already. He knows when I'm about to freak out, you know, and I don't mean that at like a negative point where I'm about to just throw it all out the window, you know, where I'm getting frustrated because whatever I wanted to do isn't working. And when that happens, usually what I do is I just put my foot on the gas and say, fuck it, let's just throw down. And, you know, kind of in the Thiago Santos fight, I wasn't able to reel it back in, you know, the firefight started and, you know, like, just like I said, who I am, I just thrive for that shit. And even if I'm the one getting knocked on my ass, I'm going to get back up and try to get you back. That's just how I am. And Mark does such a good job of kind of formulating game plans that I can stick to. It's not about – anyone can come up with a game plan. You take Firas Sahabi or whoever and say, here's the best way to beat this person. But it's really about taking the fighter that you have in front of you and formulating the best game plan that that fighter can implement against whoever they're fighting. And that's what Mark does better than anybody.
Anthony, I want to close with just a couple quick things here. One of them is I love Joe Warren. He's one of my favorite fighters in the world. And he gives great interviews, and I love his intensity before fights. And hopefully he's contagious like that in the gym as well, because that dude's intense.
He is, man. That intensity in the gym and that high energy that he has, it's contagious. You know, he just rubs off on anybody. Anytime Joe's in the gym, the level and the energy in the gym automatically goes through the roof. Number one, he's kind of a, you know, Joe, he's a clown. You know what I mean? He's constantly messing with you. He's the dude that'll come up and shoot a double leg when you're not looking and run around and tell everybody he kicked your ass. You know what I mean? He's just a funny dude. And when training starts, that dude's super intense. And a little bit of Joe's rubbed off on me. You know, you can't be in a room with a high-level wrestler like that day in and day out and not get better.
Tell me if my keywords would work in a fight. If I need you to slow down and I say, slow down, playa, would that work? Or does it have to be some you know, some exotic, like, you know, code words or whatever?
No, they're actually really similar to that. I'm sure you'll hear Mark say it a couple times in the Vulcan fight. He'll say, get your swag on. And that's a code, and we use it a lot.
Now, the one to amp you up, I would say, jack that fool up. Mark, is that enough to get you decision. Going, like to go out there and take it to, you know, sixth gear? Jack
Hell
that
yeah.
fool
Mark,
up.
Mark says the same thing. Mark says the same thing to me every single time. Right before we walk out, you're the baddest motherfucker on the planet. You know what I mean? And that shit just gets me fucking hype. And then when Mark says it's time to finish, he always tells me it's time to make a decision. You got to make a decision. And then that means we got to go. We got to put our foot on the gas, and whatever happens, happens.
Hey, the last thing is I noticed on your Twitter, your pinned tweet is from February 3rd when you lost to Santos. Have you kept that up there for motivation, or you just forgot? Because since then, you've whooped some ass. You know, you could be putting up a few other pictures, but for some reason, that one's still there.
Yeah, man, I left that there on purpose. That was one of the hardest losses I ever took. And that moment when that picture was taken, I was in, like, one of the lowest places I've been in my career. You know, things were going so well, and things were just, I know, I was kind of on top of the world up to that point. You know, I felt like I was really coming along, and then that weight cut happened and the trip to Brazil, and I just couldn't find my way. It was one of the first times I'd ever been in a fight, and I was a little bit lost, you know what I mean? I couldn't fucking pull it together, you know what I mean? I got hit with that spinning wheel kick at the very beginning, and I couldn't shake it, you know? I just shook a little bit, you know? Like, maybe not shook, but I was just, like, spinning. The world was just fucking out of control, and I just couldn't pull it together. And I was just kind of in that moment when that picture was taken, I was lost, and I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do. And I don't want to forget that, you know what I mean? I want to remember that, and that's why I don't want to let myself get too high or too low, you know? You can't define yourself by a loss or whatever, but you also can't define yourself by a win. You know, whether I beat Volkan or not, or I move on to a title fight or not, this train's going to keep rolling regardless. And I don't want to live too high up on that horse and feel like I'm the greatest and miss out on feeling that loss, you know, because that loss is one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. It forced me to move up to 205. And because of that, I've been able to grow technically and mentally so much from that. I got to remember that shit, you know?
Sounds good to me, man. I love it. It's awesome always talking to you. You always give us a lot of energy as well. Can't wait. What we got? 8 days left before your fight versus Volkan.
8 days.
Thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take it easy. And hopefully when I'm in Vegas next, I'll come hang out with you guys.
Right on, man. We love that. Thanks, Anthony. Take care,
guys.
All right. See ya. At Lionheart Smith. For Anthony Smith. Give him a follow. Let him know you heard him on the at MMA Junkie Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Blah, blah, blah. Here are those two dummies, George and Goes.
It's week 7 in fantasy football, and Fantasy Sports Radio is helping you win. Listen to the best fantasy football experts analyze this week's NFL matchups from the fantasy football perspective. Find out which players you need to start in your lineup and hear the latest news and injury information, plus those weather alerts and interviews with people closest to the game. It's nonstop fantasy football talk 24 hours a day on Fantasy Sports Radio, Sirius 210, XM 87, and streaming on your phone and at home on connected devices and speakers. Let's take this quick call from Marco in Waco. As we approach the top of the hour, remember, in about 5 to 7 minutes, we'll be joined by El Wapo, Boss Rudin. What's up, Marco? How you doing?
Marco from Waco. ¿Qué pasa, Atos?
You with it, man?
El Wapo! Hey, when it comes to Derek Lewis, man, this short notice fight, not really so short notice, because let's not forget, he have a full training camp for Volkov, man. The one that has a short training camp is DC. Not like I think it's going to matter. But let's not say that Derek is coming unprepared. He got a real hard, narrow sparring with Volkov. But he's been on an extended training camp, so hopefully it's going to serve him well for the fight. That's all I have.
Usually I would say, but they're two different styles. But yesterday Derek was clear about the fact that he's only worried about himself. He's not importing 5'11 world-class wrestlers. So, yeah, I'll let that one go,
Marco.
That's
all you can do in that time period,
pretty much,
right?
Yeah, exactly. He's okay, just got to sling them dogs.
It's a good point, though, as far as the DC angle, because from him being in heavyweight to the injury, I doubt he was even doing active rest to a heavy extent, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Now it's just, I think he said running, conditioning. You know, now he's got to fight two extra rounds than he did versus Volkov.
True.
All right, thank you for that call, Marco. So, as you know, on this show, we kind of always push it to the end, and that's why these commercials pile up, and then the break that we have coming up towards the end of the end of the first hour, so top of the hour here. We'll be coming up here in a few minutes with Boss Rudin, so don't touch that dial. And then I'm going to get into some YouTube. Let's see what the comments are there, questions. If you don't want to call in, I understand. Sometimes you can't. We'll see if we can pick off some from the YouTube. So leave some there. Also, quick run of the Twitter here. I'm at MMA Junkie George. He's at Dan Tom MMA. Goes is at the Goes. Danny, our producer back east, he's at Danny Otto, and the show's at MMA Junkie Radio. We love it, man, when you tweet the guests and let them know that you heard them on the at MMA Junkie Radio show, and it picks up a little traction and floats out there a little bit longer in that Twitter space than usual. Dan, you get like 20 seconds. When you said something about your podcast, is it dropping tonight?
Just dropped today.
Dropping today, okay.
The Protect Your Neck podcast on iTunes, at the PYM podcast. Just dropped top 5 resurgent performances in MMA today.
There you go. Leave him a comment, a review. It helps with the algorithm. It helps all of us. So stay close. We'll be right back. Fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is strong heart and a nerve of steel. No matter what you do in the bathroom to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. They have amazing shower stuff, hair styling products, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and of course, razors and shave supplies.
I use these products every day, George. The Amber and Lavender Body Wash is how I start my morning off. I get my body all nice and smooth, and then I switch over to the Big Cloud Good Shake Hand Cream. I love that stuff. But that's how I get ready. You're not me. You have to have your own way to get ready. You might shave your whole body to get ready for a bike race. Dollar Shave Club's Executive Razor and Shave Butter can help with that. You might do your hair to get ready for a soccer match. Boogies by Dollar Shave Club can help with that. It can get your style on point. The thing is, no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need.
And right now, you can get ready with an amazing deal on any one of their starter sets. I recommend the Daily Essentials starter set because I love Amber Lavender Body Cleanser. That's right. I love it. But you can't go wrong with any of them. Head over to the dollarshaveclub.com/junkie to pick up your own DSC starter set for just $5. After your starter set, products ship at a regular price. And make sure you check out their new video, too. That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie, dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to MMA Junkie Radio. I want to take this time to let you know about our producer Danny's show. It's called Poppin' Off, and it airs live twice a week, Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can find the show, if you missed the live show, you can find the recording on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube the following day. Check it out. It's a lot of fun, and you get to see a little bit more of our producer Danny's personality. And my phone just rang in the background, so I'll turn that off because that sounds stupid. Fucking phone.
It's popping off.
In Chesapeake, Virginia, anyone over the age of 12 who's caught trick-or-treating could earn jail time.
We're going to fine people for dressing up on Halloween, which is a dope holiday. But yet, adults can dress up in crazy costumes and come spend a load of money, also known as Comic-Con, and we all love it.
Every single person at Comic-Con could have been fined or gone to jail.
If they walked through and somehow were given a piece of candy, then yeah,
there's something
thank,
wrong.
Thank you.
Watch live on the FNTSY YouTube stream.
Where do you stand on YouTube? 1 to 10. Do you like them?
I like them.
So 1 to 10, you're not a 10, I know that, but...
I'm not a 10. I haven't seen them yet, but I'd like to see them before I die.
But do they stand around 6, 7 in terms of, like, hey, respect, they entertain me, their longevity?
7.
So how about you, Danton?
For which one?
YouTube.
YouTube? I like YouTube.
I know that. I know you like us. Yeah. I'm talking about the band.
I think they're good. I mean, like, as far as 1 through 10 you're asking?
Yeah.
Probably like a 6 or a 7, which is a pretty high ranking, but the only reason why they're not higher is because... It's not like a Dan Tom's like a crazy YouTube fan, although I did escort Bono to his room once, and very short man. Very
oh, yeah?
short man.
Bono?
He had like president, like security presence. Like it was one of the more catered guests to that I recall crossing paths with when I did the old security at Encore.
Nice fellow?
Yeah, real nice fellow, real down to earth, but it was just weird presidential like security and entrance. I'm like, Jesus, this guy really needs like people like clearing the way for him and stuff. What's going on here?
I'm about an 8.5 with those guys. I need to catch them again.
Yeah.
But Juliet can't stand them.
Yeah.
Catch them, sorry, is what I meant to say. She can't, no, not can't stand, but she has zero interest.
New, old, all of it?
Just not
there's a few people
YouTube
I know that are like that.
Yeah. Mm. All right, let's switch over to PFL 10. Let's start talking about it again. We've been talking about it all week. I was there last week. I had a blast at PFL 9. Some junkies are going to be out at PFL 10 out in Washington, D.C. These are middleweights and welterweights. Same recipe. You fight twice. If you win your quarterfinal matchup, you will be fighting again. But the reward is you get to fight for $1 million on December 31st out in New York City. Joining us now on the hotline is former King of Pancrase, former UFC heavyweight champion, UFC Hall of Famer, now president, World Bare Knuckle Fighting Federation. It's El Guapo, Boss Rudin. What's up, boss? How you doing?
Doing great, George. How you doing, brother?
Great, my man. Thank you again for joining us here on the hotline. Lots to talk about, but we'll make it quick because I know you guys got all them meetings to prepare for tomorrow night's big event. Hey, boss, these last two events, man, what's it been like calling these fights and watching these guys just go after that gusto, the big prize, but having to do it twice in one night like some of you old schoolers?
You know what? It's so good to see, you know. We see guys like popping up, and we see guys, everybody fight for the $1 million. We can see that. I mean, there's almost no decisions. Nothing went to a decision, almost nothing. And we see these great upsets. You know, we saw like the fight before in New Orleans. He had Josh Copeland, the number 8 seed, taking on Barroso, was the number 1 seed, and he beat Barroso. Then he knocked out Alex Nicholson, and now he's suddenly fighting in the finals for $1 million, you know. So a guy who thought he wasn't in, suddenly they're in. And now, see, last week where we were with Vinny Magalhães, you know, there you find out that hard work pays off. I mean, the guy told us that in the 2.5 months of preparation that he had, he took 2 Sundays off. That was the only thing. He had 4 wow. fights now, and altogether, I don't think he fought more than 6 minutes. So, yeah, you see fighters like that just changing in the season. It's crazy.
How about Sean O'Connell? He was down 10-9 going into the second round of his first fight. He comes back, scores the 10-8, scores that win, and then he's got to go back, recover, rest, rehydrate, and then warm up and come back out, and he had another barn burner against Rama. There really has been some great stories, but he might have been one of the best ones, not only of the whole season, but the playoffs too. Really compelling how it all went down.
You know, he did the same thing against Honey Marks, you know, exactly the same. I mean, he got beat up in the first round, and every time when you think this guy is down, that's where he pulls up a knockout. And it's exactly what happened with Ronnie Marsh, and it's exactly what happened to Smiljan Rama. This guy is never out of the fight. And he also says that, everybody thinks I'm tired. He says, I look tired. I see it on the video, but I'm not tired. So maybe I give him a false illusion that I'm really tired, but I'm not tired. And apparently everybody's falling for the trap.
Yeah. Boy, I'm really looking forward to Ray Cooper III against Jake Shields. Compelling story. Shields beat his dad, then Cooper takes him out, and now Shields, number 8, could take out Cooper and one up the team. You know, could, if you look at it, Team Cooper versus Jake Shields, it's 1-1. If you look at it as just Ray Cooper III versus Jake Shields, it's obviously 1-0. But very interesting how this fight could play out. Grappler versus striker, young guy versus older guy. Lots of little interesting tidbits, you know, throughout the whole card. But this one's one of my favorites.
You know, we just talked to Shields, and he said, you know, the first time I knew he was punched by Dan Henderson and guys like that was really a lot of punching power. And he said, well, I knew he had some power, but, you know, I didn't think he had that power that, like, for instance, Dan Henderson had. And he said, until he started hitting me, it threw me completely up. He said, the power was just so sick. With me going into the fight, I noticed I'm going to deal with this. And he said, my setups were not good. The takedowns were not good. You know, now I feel a little bit more comfortable. He worked really hard on it. And he believes that he can take Ray Cooper down. But what about Cooper also? What if Cooper would win? Then he's facing Henderson Ferreira, who is the last guy to beat Cooper.
That's true.
And who was the last minute replacement here in the place of Henderson Ferreira.
Yeah, you're right about that one.
So that could be a really great fight as well, if that would happen. So, and but Ferreira is fighting Story. And we know with Story, man, this guy comes in, it's very hard to put away. Man, there's going to be some barn burners tomorrow, for real.
Boss, is it refreshing that the politics is out of this? You win, you control your destiny. You don't have to trash talk. You don't have to shove anyone at the weigh-ins. You don't have to campaign on Twitter or anything. You just got to go out there and handle your business. You got to stay healthy, But it is kind of refreshing to just see the two best for that night, make it all the way to New York. That's one thing that I do like about the Grand Prix / playoff turn formats that I've been seeing, not just with you guys, but obviously with Bellator and what they did last week too.
Yeah, I love it too, and especially fighting two fights in one night, and the first fight, whoever wins the first round. So let's say you win the first round and your opponent wins the second round. If it's both a 10-9 and a 9-10 round, you're going to win because you won the first round. So the pressure on all the fighters is to come out and start fighting right away. As well as I do, there's a lot of guys out there. Most of the time, the first round is kind of a feeling out process, like a guy like Jake Shields. He said, I don't like it. He said, but it is what it is. It's got to have to switch. The little switch in my head, and I got to come out right away blazing, because if you're in the first round and you write the second one out, you're pretty sure that you're going to win that fight and you're going to go to the next one. And for wrestlers, I also believe this is perfect for wrestlers. We saw Lance Armbruster 2 weeks ago, and just taking an opponent down and just fighting him from the top. This is the second round again, so he goes unscathed to the second round. So, yeah, we see a lot of game plans like that, and still seeing a lot of finishes. It's a perfect mix.
We're talking to Boss Rudin, who will be one of the color commentators for tomorrow night's fights at PFL 10. Catch him on NBC Sports Network, 9 p.m. Eastern Start Time. Now, that's just for the main card, folks. Otherwise, go to Facebook at 6 p.m. Eastern Start Time, and you'll get to see some of the original quarterfinals there, some of the earlier matchups. And last week, I know that Rashid Magomedov and Will Brooks, two of the highly touted 55ers, they went early. So you want to tune in on Facebook. They have a crystal clear broadcast there, and where you want to go is facebook.com/live. PFL is very prominent on fight day. All right, goes. What do you have for El Guapo?
El Guapo, I have a question, but it relates to bare knuckle boxing, and I want to know.
Oh, okay.
Because of your background in Pancrase, all right, I don't know if the rule set will allow for this, but I know in Pancrase used to do a lot of open hand strikes. Do you think that would be a strategy that if you were to do bare knuckle boxing, at some point, maybe you would implement during the fight to save a little bit on your knuckles?
100%. Because I didn't take this position as the president very lightly. I told him, let me call you back next day, because I already found out that, that bare knuckle boxing actually is better, more healthier for CTE-wise than normal boxing. Are you serious? Yeah, because the guys only hit 40-50% to the head. And I go, it makes total sense. Otherwise, they break their hand. And then right away, the thoughts that you just asked me came in my head. That's why when I was a bouncer, I was already hitting with open hands. So, I think as a boxer, if you are allowed, they're going to have to look through the rules with an open hand. I say do it, because right now, bare knuckle boxing, people focus a lot on the body, and they throw all the strikes to the meaty parts, like, say, the shoulders and the forearms of the opponent also to bring the guard down. And to the head, they go only 40-50% because they're afraid. Everybody's afraid they're going to break their hand.
Yeah, and that's right. Boss was recently named the president of World Bare Knuckle Fighting Federation, and they have a card coming up on November 9th, live on pay-per-view, 10 p.m. Eastern Start Time there. Irish Brennan Ward and Johnny Big Rig Hendricks in the main event. They also have Chris Lieben versus Phil Baroni. Sean Merriman, former NFL footballer, he'll be on the card as well, as is Josh Neer, longtime UFC favorite of the fans. All right. Let me turn it over to our fight analyst, Dan Tom. Finish up with Boss Rudin. What do you have for him, Dan?
Hey, Boss. I just wanted to change gears a little bit with a question that I probably wouldn't ask anyone else, but two things. You're so beloved in the MMA community, for one. And two, I don't know any fighter or a member of the MMA community who has more stories than you. So rather than talking to death, everybody's been talking about, obviously, the UFC 229 fallout. Obviously started with the bus attack or whatever in April. Then you had the after the fight scuffle outside of the cage. Instead of asking your opinion on that, Boss, your experience, a lot of time has passed, you have a lot of stories. Do you have your own version of a Conor Khabib incident, where maybe you don't have to be the fire starting character in the incident, so to speak, but you were just a part of being around the scenes in Japan?
No, I never had that, but I did have though a moment that a fighter would do something to me before an interview or before the fight, and then I would look at my manager and I say, okay, now I'm going to really hurt this guy because I don't really like it. And he would always say, stay calm. I said, well, I will stay calm, but what you watch, if I hit him and he I rock him, I'm going to go fool the town, you know. Just like how Funaki, for instance, he came suddenly before the fight, he steps right in front of me and slit his throat with his thumb, like, I mean, 2 feet away from me. And I'm looking at my manager, and he knew, he goes, oh, no, no, stay calm. I said, you watch, I'll stay calm, but at the moment, when the moment presents itself, I will go to town a little bit extra than I normally would do. And that's what happened. But I never had something like that, you know, fighting with the fighters. Thankfully, you know, that was, we had a lot of respect for each other, especially there over there in Japan. All these fighters were such a close-knit group. We always partied together afterwards, you know. Yeah, if I would fight, for instance, Frank, then I wouldn't hang out with Frank the days before the fight. But after the fight, we would just hang out again, and we would go to Roppongi and have a good time over there. So, yeah, never fighting like that happened. But I can totally understand it. I can totally understand what Khabib comes from. 100%. I'm not agreeing with it. It's completely wrong. He should have never done that. But you know what? We're all fighters, you know. We're still human, and there's a lot of emotional stuff gets thrown at you. Eventually, yeah, that makes the bucket, the drop makes the bucket flow, right? That's what they say in Holland. And something comes out, and unfortunately, it happened at a really big event.
There you have it. All right. Boss, thank you very much for the time, man. We will be tuning in tomorrow night for PFL 10. And let's catch up in a few weeks before the World Bare Knuckle Fighting Federation event on November 9th, so we can definitely make a hard charge there on promoting that one as well.
I will love it, brother. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care, Boss. We'll see you.
Yo, bye.
All right, follow Boss on Twitter at Boss Rudin MMA. Let him know you heard him on the at MMA Junkie Radio Show with At The Goes, at Dan Tom MMA, and at MMA Junkie George. He, along with Randy Couture and Todd Harris and our good friend Eve Edwards, they'll be calling the fights at PFL 10 tomorrow night on NBC Sports Network, 9 p.m. Eastern Star Time. And I think, you know what? I'm a fan of the three-man booth. I'm not saying it's a four-man booth, but Eve obviously does play that Harold Letterman role from HBO, you know, where he chimes in, not just with a score, but he just gives you a lot of facts and pertinence.
Yeah,
I thought they've actually done pretty good with it.
Well, they kind of – this last one, Eve was more of like the in-cage announcer.
Yeah.
Not announcer, but interviewer. Yeah, you're right. I think it has worked. I have liked it, though, when he's in the booth, because I think of all the guys, I've enjoyed his analysis the most.
Yeah, it's tough to detract from it, because it's guys who I love. Obviously, I love Randy Couture, and Randy Couture, not just as, you know, a fighter. I mean, being a fan of the guy's career, he's a good, objectively speaking, he does a good job and has always done a good job in the commentary role. Obviously, my favorite Fox desk guy at the time was Eve Edwards. He's brought that role beautifully when he was doing the Fight Pass, the Dana White Contender Series commentary, and is doing great now. So everybody's doing great, but I think the three-man booth, I was a big fan back in the day. I was a flag waver for it, but I backed off it because it feels a little too crowded at times. And want to give props to, I believe, what was it, Paul Felder? Was it Cruz and Anik, the most recent three-man booth we had in the UFC? It was for a fight night of some sort, I want to say. But Felder was the third man, and Felder did a good job of – I feel like the key in the three-man booth is you need a sense of humor, right, to kind of go with it. And Cormier, I know, brings that as well. But, you know, Felder really brought that kind of guy's vibe, like a Rogan or even like a Jens Pulver,
right.
Kind of, you know, brings to the commentary. And I feel like that's key, because you need that – kind of banter, that kind of, you know, like if we didn't have rapport and we were only brought in to do MMA Junkie Radio and sit next to each other maybe once a month at most, that's not enough reps for us guys. We would be clunky. Even knowing each other as we do now, it just wouldn't be as smooth of a product. So if you get that kind of guy's vibe in the booth, I think that projects to the audience, like, yeah. And you kind of have that playful vibe. You have less stepping over each other instead of just chambered points and everybody's just waiting to get their point out. It's more of a casual conversation.
What I like is that Felder, Cormier, Rogan, a few of those guys are interchangeable, where
yes.
They can be the lead key color commentator, or they can back off and let someone. Because with Cruz, you almost want to let him be the key color commentator, because he's just such a strategist.
Yeah.
And Rogan can also add to that, but also add some sense of humor into the broadcast.
Right.
That's a long time to be with those guys. It's not just 3 hours on the pay-per-view. You get them through Fight Pass and Fox Sports. And, of course, eventually we're going to lead into ESPN and however they're going to break it up. I think Cormier can do the same thing. He can either be the lead, he can do a two-man, or he can be a third guy where he can either let Rogan be lead color commentator and him be third guy, or he can also take over, because there's times where he shares things that have to do with his division or divisions.
Yeah.
And that's where Rogan can add something. But those guys are laughing their asses off, and it's contagious.
Because
I sit at home and I feel like I'm being entertained, but I'm still watching a sporting event.
It depends on who's fighting, too, right?
Yeah.
You want to know what strengths
work
with which guy. You don't want a guy with the camp really. Before, I used to think, of course you want a guy that's in the camp commentating, but you're not really going to get the most honest opinion.
Felder's
I'd rather
a stud,
go
though.
Away.
Felder's a stud. He's Felder's done well awesome. For himself. Yeah. I'm really, really happy for that fella. All right. So now that we got those interviews out of the way, and we know that we're interview-free and we can coast to the finish line, and shout out to Greg Savage. He lined up a lot of them for the PFL. So shout out to him, and got to give a shout out to myself. I lined up Anthony Smith, so shout out to Gorgeous George. But, yeah, let's get this big break out of the way, and then now all of a sudden we have to worry about things, and we have to do our daily debate. We can take some calls. We can touch on some of the latest news that you see on the front page of MMAJunkie.com. So stay close, and we'll be right back. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation, Channel 93.
You need cool air. Baby, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna
They were kicked off the set of The Fast and the Furious for being too loud and too good-looking. Once again, here's Gorgeous George and Goes.
I've got a great way for you to keep hearing SiriusXM outside your car. Now, when you upgrade to All Access, you'll get an all-new Amazon Echo Dot free, so you can bring your SiriusXM into your home. Get everything you need to enjoy in your car, plus more channels that you can hear only when you stream at home or on the go. Find out other details at SiriusXM.com/upgrade now. Offer not available in Canada. All right. So now we got one of the big breaks out of the way. Now we can have a little bit of fun. Goes, you had a good one here.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
I want to tell you guys that $1 million lotto, which I don't have tickets at this time, but I'm going to try and do it. What did I say? A million? 1 billion, yeah.
You said a million, but it's billion.
If I win, you guys want to know what you get?
What's that?
Danny Otto gets a brand new recording studio for him and his band.
Thanks, George.
I don't think he's done.
Huh?
Are you done?
No,
that's
I'm
it?
Not done.
Yeah.
A car?
This guy's Kramer over here. Huh? I'll take it.
Exactly. Yeah, you know what? That's it. Just the studio. That was it. You ended your own deal, Dan.
I was happy with my God.
All right. Dan, Tom, we're going to get you. We'll get you that brand new car. And I'm going to build you a home studio.
No stick shift. Just kidding.
Home studio.
A home studio.
That's a good question. What kind of car?
But I mean like a training.
Oh,
gym.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
We're going to build
nice.
You one.
He's getting ahead of me. He read my list over here. Things. I think you hacked my list.
Is that on your list too? Of things to do?
Yeah, you know, upgrading the
home, and first
home
class
gym.
To Hawaii.
Oh, that's way December. Nice. That's way too nice. See, my thought would be the studio for you guys as well, but more not workout studio, like a radio studio. But then I'm like, well, you got the nice setup here, man. Like, babe, you guys have good jobs at the Sirius, MMA Junkie. What could I really offer? But I would get you guys just a big, massive studio to make many podcast studios, so you guys could even like. Whether you needed it or not, you could almost pimp your own network or pimp your own,
thank
own
you.
Things. And because it seems like this, no matter what, you guys are going to be doing some version of this the rest of your life. So,
yeah, which is going to be part B to my thing here with the $1 million.
Sorry,
the
I didn't mean to step on yours. Yeah, sorry.
Or Mega, what's it called? Mega Millions Lotto or something?
Mega Millions.
Yeah, and then Goes, we'll start you off with if the Dodgers win tonight, you're going to every game with the best tickets possible.
Okay.
And you can take 3 guests, so 4 tickets.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. That'd and then tough. I'm buying you a new house, not necessarily because I want to get you a new house, because I want you to get out of my house. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously we'd start off with Dodgers stuff, and then when you come back, obviously I'd still take care of you guys some more. But initially, that would be my thing. And it'd be like one of those 48 hours, like, Dan, check into the Mandalay Bay, and when you come back, your house is pimped out. Danny, same thing with you. Check into the Roosevelt Hotel there in New York City. When you come back, and then Goes, he's on his road trip with the Dodgers. But here's the other thing: would you show up to work on Monday?
I honestly,
if you won the billion dollars,
I said no during the pre-show, but I think I would because I need something to ground me. Otherwise, I turn into Scrooge McDuck.
So you're not only showing up Monday, you're showing up Monday, Tuesday. You're still going to do the job?
I think so. But maybe I have
with
like
a lot of off days, though, right?
No, I think I would have a home studio, so one day I could just go, hey, man, I'm just doing it from the home studio today, stuff like that. But I think I would still try and do
it. What are
you, Dan? You know, for the obvious reason that Ghost said, you know, healthy state of mind keeps you grounded. But more so, even it's been a year, guys, and maybe this speaks to more of my low slash no self-esteem and self-deprecating nature, but it still doesn't feel like this is a job. Like, obviously, it's a job, and I take it seriously like a job, and I get even, you know, the stresses, and like every normal people get, like, you know, you get all that stuff with a job, yeah, sure, all these definitions, I get paid, sure, but it doesn't feel like it's a job, and I think it's because I love MMA so much that this still doesn't feel like a job. Does that make sense at all, guys?
Yeah.
So in that sense, specifically to this, then yeah, definitely. Now, you asked Dan Tom when he was counting the deposits in the morning for Whole Foods if I'd still show up for work. Maybe I get a different answer from me.
Danny Otto, would you show up on Monday if you want it?
I would show up to this job. I don't know if I'd show up to all of my jobs.
Nice.
There you go. Like, so you wouldn't show up to do your show, Popping Off?
No, I would show up for that, but maybe not the video producing other stuff that I do at that job.
But you'd still be part of the MMA Junkie Radio team? Are you sure?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought for sure this guy would hit the road with his band and just give us the middle finger.
Why?
I don't know.
Because you got
the audience that's tuning
dollars.
In is thinking these four motherfuckers are lying to us. How can they do that? One of us has to quit. And I was going to stay, but you, all three of you are staying. So now actually the whole team stays.
Because you need something to ground you in life, I think.
I think you're right, though. You nailed it. We'd all have that codec so that even if we wanted to go travel, we could still check in. You know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm.
you're right. What would you do? I mean, that's when you can get in trouble.
I'm definitely taking a helicopter to and from work, though.
Like I watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Larry David, let's just say that's really him because we know some of it really is him.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, do y'all watch it?
Yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I've watched enough to be familiar. Yeah.
So, but can you also tell that he's, even though he's got all that Seinfeld money, he's kind of bored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one thing
I would never be bored, though.
Me neither.
Never.
But you also, you know, everyone else's life doesn't stop, so you have to bring people along for the ride. So mm-hmm. you have to make one of your buddies like your assistant or your security guy. Because remember, guys, we're talking about $1 billion, and we're all taking the $600 million up front. I don't think we want to do payments over 20 years or nothing like that. So you got a lot of money to spend, but, yeah, I would say that you got to surround yourself. Like, I'd really make a push, even though Dad doesn't want to move to Vegas, to just move them here and have them closer to me and spend time with them but do stuff together. But, you know, like I say, everyone else's life doesn't stop.
That's why you have a good game plan about him. You're thinking more inclusively, and that's a more healthier approach because what's the quote somebody says? I wish everybody could be rich and famous just for a little bit so you can see that it doesn't – long enough so you can see that it doesn't – realize it doesn't bring you happiness, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you including people and stuff like that in your plans, that makes a lot of sense. You would definitely do well. You wouldn't go the route of – what were you saying on the other day, Goes? You were saying totally see George as a cartel boss. I'm watching Narcos right now, so I've got that in my head. I was watching last night. I'm on the third one where it's mainly like spoiler alert, Escobar died. After Escobar died and a lot of that, after Ghost said that, now I'm just picturing like you as every like mob boss. Like,
you think I'm a cartel? What'd you say?
Remember when you were La Barba?
La Barba.
Oh,
yeah.
When I look like one. Okay.
See, like, you know, he's just, you know.
You thought that I thought you were a cartel boss?
No, seeing how you tied me into being
Here's the scene. It's like the good guy gets taken in by the bad guys. You know, there's some kind of exchange, some kind of hijacking at a marketplace. And now he's in the room and he's tied up and they're waiting for it. And then it's that real character reveal that's like, hey, that would be George's character, right? The scary reveal. The Escobar type guys, maybe some. Like, no fool me molesta. Cállate. Like, you know, I could see
who would be your MMA guys that would be your security detail? Let's say you couldn't hire ex-FBI, ex-service mercenaries, nothing. They just want nothing to do with a lotto winner. So you're like, okay, I'm going to get them from MMA then.
Do I cheat and go Tim Kennedy at that point? Yeah, that's jumping out of my mind.
He's
like,
in the front.
Secure
I guess technically
compound.
That's right.
So he's got to run security for himself, right, already, as it is. He knows
right.
how to do it.
Let's go with current MMA fighters. No, yeah, you're right. Tim Kennedy. Who else? Give me two more.
I'm going to go down this military road. Then I'm going Paul Thiago. Give me Alexi Olenek. Give me any guy who looks like they're standing with an unhappy face in some military picture. That's my guy. So we'll go, how do I get, like three or four?
You can add.
I'll just go four. Let's keep it. We'll keep it four to keep it short. What did I say? So Paul Thiago or three? Paul Thiago, Tim Kennedy, and Alexei Oleynik. There we go. I went with all military. Bope, Russian military, and yeah, and Tim Kennedy, Special Forces.
What about you guys?
Derek Lewis. He'd be my right-hand man.
Okay.
You showed up to the club. You showed up to the club with a guy like Derek Lewis.
What he said, Tim Kennedy would be the guy that sits up in the tower in the front of my compound.
You and Derek Lewis would be like, what was the gentleman
Robin
that died?
Big.
Yeah, yeah. But what was the other one?
Well, I was going to say what he said. If I won, I would buy kind of like a compound, and I would have Tim Kennedy up in that sniper tower.
Okay.
He'd be up there. So I guess those two.
You get one more.
I get one more?
Yeah.
Where Ronda Rousey at now? That'd be fun, huh? Third man in the booth. I don't know. Maybe Boss.
Boss
would be fun.
That's a pretty good one. You guys are really thinking like this through. You guys are thinking compounds and snipers. I was just thinking I'm going to be going to the club or to a bar, and I just don't want any problems.
Oh, no.
So I was thinking more like the bodyguard sense.
I'm buying a compound. So what I would do
Not that Boss wouldn't work for that because he used to do that. But
I would have a house on the top of like a hill, but then I would buy an area below it, and then I would just give everyone houses there so that the family kind of – everybody has their own house, but we all live on the same block.
I feel like
you guys are further enough where you don't bother me unless you want to go up, and I'm going to have the rule of no cars. So if you really want to see me, you got to walk up.
Oh.
Kind of like Mortal Kombat. You know, they got to go up the stairs.
I just love how George asked for, is thinking like bodyguards and security that me and Goz go the route of like, well, for a zombie apocalypse, yeah. I would enjoy this guy. Because I feel like me and Goz's team is really good for a zombie apocalypse.
Like he's going to buy an island. And yeah. Get to the island, you got to do this.
Maybe Jen's Pulver, I think, would be fun to have around.
Yeah.
You're thinking of friends. You're just like, it would be cool to hang out with.
But what would be like, I've already told this story, but what would be like your asshole move as a millionaire?
Billionaire.
Well, you'd be a millionaire.
I will hold a press conference to say that Scottie Pippen was the best and Shaq was overrated.
No.
I would get all these opinions like 9-year-old Dan Tom had, even if they're outdated or I don't believe in them, because I made a promise to myself long ago, if I ever get rich and famous, I need to say these things that aren't being said.
What I mean is like Baker, California has like a population of what, 2,000 people?
Thermometer.
But they have the world's biggest thermometer.
I would build one
just a little bit bigger in the neighboring city just to be a dick. What would be your asshole move?
Boy.
A lot of stuff you could do there.
I don't have one off the top of my head.
No?
I really don't.
He would build his own 49ers like VIP section that's bigger than whatever the president gets to view the games from. And George gets the upside.
I would also have a trap door.
What, trap door?
Yeah. Like Montgomery Burns.
Good.
But it just has a big, long slide, and it would take you all the way down the mountain.
My asshole move would be all these what-ifs I'm always talking about. For $4,000
or
$500, would you do this? Would you do that? So I'd be putting people in those predicaments. I think I'd have enough of those that I really don't need to be a douche, I guess. I really try and, like Matt Erickson's in my head. When I take up two spots, but when I'm close, I'm like, I'm boarding on being a daily douche. I'll back up and park the car right, even when I'm in a hurry or whatever. Just so I really try and
nice.
Not because a lot of people think, oh, it's because I don't want to get my car dinged. And I don't look at it that way. I just like, no, I just want to give the other person enough space in case they're having a bad day on their way back out of work or whatever. But all right, let me look through the YouTube chat, see who's hanging in here.
Hey, can I give a shout out to someone?
Yeah.
On Instagram, I don't know if you guys have guilty pleasures. Have you ever followed girls getting hurt?
Jesus Christ, Coast.
No, it's not like really, really bad. It's just kind of like
I thought
stupid,
I had issues toward
funny
women.
Things. But man, this is hilarious. Like they'll, you know, when they get like on a stripper pole and they tip over, stuff
yeah.
like that, dude. But it's been cracking me up all week. Just random things. Like this is the dude making out with a chick and he's just drunk and
wow.
They just do stupid stuff. You should follow that.
See, mine would be like kids getting hurt because it's. But that's not as
that exists.
No, but it's just one of those things, like, if you see it in a cartoon, it's funny.
I see it from time to time. I see kids, like, run into a wall.
Yeah,
or if you're seeing
dumb bastard.
Two little kids will be playing. Well, even the little kid will get a nut shot from time to time. The parents are laughing.
There's some stories. coaching kids karate on sparring days was always fun.
The best, man.
What's it called?
Girls Getting Hurt.
Just like
on
it's spelled.
Instagram, yeah.
All right, I'll have to follow that one.
Just them doing stupid things.
Yeah.
We had
All right, so here, Danny Olker's done. He's our guy. Don Piccolo.
Hey.
That's Don Cho, Dan from Rancho Santa Margarita. Akira, message deleted. Akira must be an asshole. All right, fuck you then. I don't even know what he or she said.
Yeah, I put him in timeout. It was a
troll?
And
a jackass?
Anti-gay slurs and stuff.
Oh, boy. Not
nice things.
Man, Akira, get it together. Seriously. Rolly Estrada. He says, really? That a no-fight Diaz, but I want to see it happen at Knuckle Up 101. Oh, they're talking. I don't know what they're talking about. Oh, it says, who do you got, DC or Black Beast? Buko Rules, thank you for feeling comfortable enough here to come out to us like this, Akira. What is Akira? Something else. Christian Andraji.
They call him
Hello to you. Who else do we have? Knuckle Up 101, I said that already. Q8, Pitbull F. I'm happy and I'm smiling that Khabib won. Hey, good for you, man. That was a long ride, honestly. First of all, Khabib had a long ride because he was off for 2 years because of an injury. Then just getting to these title fights. And then when he won it, he didn't get to beat the incumbent. The incumbent was stripped. And then he actually was lucky enough to fight the previous undisputed champion in McGregor. And then even when he did, he spoiled his own what could have been great moment. So it was a long ride, but I think Khabib's finally settled and happy. The dust is settled. And any of his fans should feel happy and should still be smiling because that has been one hell of a ride. Big shout out to Juan Ramirez, Victor with a K, Daniel R. Hey, guys, you want me to share a quick story here about how I caught a break the other day?
Yeah. Not LensCrafters, right?
LensCrafters, yeah.
You just told the story yesterday.
I did on this show?
Pretty sure.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
I did?
Yeah.
On the show? I remember you telling it, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Getting a good deal and every once in a while happens to Gigi.
Yeah, that one really nice guy.
Are we sure it happened on the show?
The reach
I
around?
Thought it did, right?
I don't think it did.
It definitely happened on the show.
Okay, what did I say?
That you went in and you ended up getting a coupon and this and that, right?
Oh, wow. Really?
You talked to a really, really nice guy.
I didn't even know I told it to you.
Then I told you that my buddy Joey works at LensCrafters.
So you
and you
that
thought he worked at the Sunglass Hut, but you said no, not anymore.
I guess I did share it. All right.
Hey, you guys want to hear what I would do if I was
blew your eyes?
Sounds bad.
I never catch a break. So what's yours?
No, it was just a joke.
Oh, all right. Let's take this call here. Are you screening it, Danny, or is it ready to go?
Literally just came in. I think it might be Joe from H-Town. I'm not sure, though. You want to take it?
Cold turkey, scene? Yeah.
Or is it Bane?
Junkie Hotline, who's this?
Good morning, fellas.
Bam. Hey, what's up, man?
Bam.
That's the real Joe.
Hey, I got some beef with you guys, but I'm going to handle it off the air. But
what on earth
to talk
is
to
your
you guys.
Beef?
What's up?
What on earth is your beef?
Where's the beef?
You want to handle this on air? You sure?
Do you know who this is? You're better off doing it off the air.
Was this Astros related?
You know who this is?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. Little bit. You
all
know
right,
what?
Well, just go with your call then.
Okay, you got it. I kind of like what PFL's doing, man. I mean, they have some big names, you know, Boss Rutten and Randy Couture, the hot chick that you guys keep putting on the website there. She's pretty hot. And they got a good concept, the $1 million thing. They're on TV. I mean, you know, I saw you guys pushing them last week. What else can they do, man, to get the word out there, to get fans to watch? I mean, you know, the stuff that the UFC is doing, you know, it's kind of made me sick over the last couple of years. Bellator with their gimmick fights and the old timers road there. What else can the PFL do? I kind of like what they're doing there.
I think they're doing just fine. What I think is going to happen is season two, when you see those people with those giant checks, I think fighters are going to say, you know what, maybe I'm a free agent now. I could sign with PFL and maybe do this for a season, make $1 million, and then maybe decide where I want to go. So I think season two will probably bring in even better free agents, and I think that will start to really get people to want to watch every week.
Yeah, I agree with Goes as far as that goes. But to Joe's point, I do agree with Joe, too, as far as there does seem to be a disconnect, even amongst hardcores, I dare say. You can correct me if I'm wrong there, Joe, because you know, I was talking about this a little bit last night where I feel like that as far as like where to find it, it seems to be the main complaint. But yet, when I look at MMA media, not just us, Junkie, or other people, like it seems, I feel like the MMA media is very much reciprocating PFL and doing their part. So I don't see where the disconnect is, but I do feel what Joe's talking about. And again, just to round it out on a positive, at the end of the day, when we had Bellator, and I touched on this a little bit while we were closing, guys, when we had Bellator, I don't know if you guys gave your opinion on how you did it. I know you were live at one event, so that might X-nay you out. But when I had it double screened, my eyes were going more toward PFL that night. And not because Bellator wasn't putting on an important or good show, just because the tournament stakes sucked me in. And I got to imagine I'm not alone on that island. So I don't know what the disconnect is, Joe, but I hear you.
Well, for me, I would say, yeah, this season needs to wind down. I think it's a brilliant move to do it on the 31st. Although people are going to be out there partying, I think they'll do it early enough that it doesn't maybe run into your plans. But what I'm saying is it pulls away from anything happening with the UFC at the end of the year. But hardcore fans, I think, will want to see who wins the $1 million. Then they're going to take a few weeks off, and then they're going to announce who makes it to Season 2. And I think Season 2 will have some of those names like Rashid Magomedov, Will Brooks, where you're like, whoa, I didn't even know he was cut, or I didn't even know he was here, or I didn't even know he or she was a free agent if they decided to do women.
It's true.
And I think the tournaments will be more stacked. But Season 2 will be key. You know, can they keep it up? Can they keep giving $1 million to the winners? They have to obviously put more butts in arenas, and they have to have more people watch on TV. But I think it's been a pretty refreshing first season. And, you know, all the promotions I can think of, their first run, it's always been like this. It's slow out of the gate. But the fighters are coming out, and they're being very endorsing, having great endorsements of the promotion. Names like Boss and Randy and the others, Eve, you know, they're also pushing it as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, three things. You know, number one, I think they need a front man, someone with a more higher profile in the industry. Number two, they need some kind of controversy. You know, some kind of controversy that happened with the Conor Khabib whole thing. I'm not saying to that much, but something that can get the attention of the regular fan. And number three, you know, the way wrestling works, like on, let's say on a Wednesday, they have other programming on top of one another, back to back to back, to that you can get to watching, you know, Wednesday wrestling. You're going to watch three different programs on the network, and they need some kind of programming to go with it, whether it's a different fan or, you know, something else they need. And I don't know if they're going to find that on the NBC Sports Network. So we'll see how it goes, man. That's all I got, man. You guys have a good evening, good weekend, or whatever.
You too.
Easy, Joe.
All right, see you. NBC Sports, so they have Premier League. It's not like they don't have a high-level league, but is that appealing to the USA crowd? I don't know, because I don't really go and look and see what that, what those ratings are like.
Well, they're playing them on regular NBC now, but so Premier's it's got to be doing something.
Pretty big. Who?
They have some games on regular NBC
right,
now, so
right.
It's got to be doing something.
Yeah. I guess that's a good question for Carlos Silva next time we're around, because I don't know that anyone ever really puts out those types of numbers to see where they're at or how they're doing. All you hope is that they're improving, but I think there's a pretty good buzz around the hardcore audience that I talk to wanting to see this season finish out and then, you know, prepare for the second season. Let's do this daily debate before we get to our last break, and then we close up. By the way, I think I know what Joe may have said or wanting to hint at. We had a problem with our Monday show. We fixed it. So Monday show with Michael Chandler has been up for about 48 hours now. And we had a problem with last Friday's show. We only had about 75%. And this is for the podcast audience that listens on delay. But I will be putting up the full show this week because I didn't want to interrupt the flow that we had, and then obviously making up for Monday. We had put up an older show by mistake, so we apologize, but I think all that's sorted out. Today's show will go up right away, and then this weekend you'll get the full show that was last Friday with Herschel Walker. All right, today's daily debate question is, with the rest of the 2018 schedule set, which major MMA event are you most anticipating? UFC 230, which is headlined by Daniel Cormier defending his heavyweight belt against Derek Lewis. UFC 231, which is headlined by Max Holloway defending his UFC featherweight belt versus Brian Ortega. Bellator Hawaii, and we'll just group the two cards. You know, there's a fight for the troops with Brent Primus, against Michael Chandler. Primus will be defending his lightweight title. And then the following day, we have more fights. What are they?
Lay McFarlane.
That's right. She's on there. I know King Mo's on the card. Yeah, yeah.
Machida's on the card, I believe. Carvalho,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know why I blanked out on that.
Frank Mir, did Richard Hunter give us a little
nugget? Yeah,
be on there.
They're on the first one, the Salute to the Troops one. So we'll group them together. And then there's UFC 232. That's at the end of the year with Chris Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes. So two champions there. And then we also have John Jones, the return of John Jones, versus Alexander Gustafsson. All right, so those are your choices. Dan, which one are you most anticipating?
You know, I think I initially wanted to lean toward UFC 232 with UFC 230 and 231 having so much change up, right? I feel like I've almost become more of a John Jones fan, oddly enough, since his last performance, at least just wanting to see him more, just get back in there, right? But, you know, I'm going to go Bellator Hawaii. Maybe I'm a homer because I am a Hawaiian and I will be going up and attending that event. And let's be honest, we get to cheat here, like George said. That one option kind of counts for two, and it's pretty stacked. It's an important market to revisit. Bellator is doing it right, and Bellator is rolling out a lot of big things, and I think they deserve credit for. So I'm really hoping they have a big showing. So I'll put my hat with Bellator Hawaii.
How about you guys?
Believe it or not, I'm going with Bellator Hawaii as well. It's just a big market that deserves a big card. It's deserved it for a very, very long time. And I know when you look in that audience, you're going to see not only Bellator fighters, you'll see some UFC fighters, and you'll see how much it means to them. So that's why I'm choosing that one.
Wow.
As a combo.
Okay.
It's going to be a special moment in mixed martial arts.
All right. No, I'm not disagreeing. But I thought one of you two would say it, but I didn't know that both of you was going to say it. For me, I think it's UFC 231 because T-City and Holloway is as good as it gets for me. And we get to get some clarity on women's flyweight so that can march forward. 230 will be cool, but more because of the middleweights. Like that heavyweight fight, of course I'll be into it. And of course it's going to be a great fight one way or another. But those middleweights, there's so many middleweights, and it's going to unclog that division and someone's going to jump to the forefront so that when Robert Whittaker defends versus Gastelum, we know who's got next. So those are my reasons there. Bellator 232. I'm into the women's matchup, Cyborg versus Nunes. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty cool for them, you know, to be fighting each other. And I'm not hating on John Jones, but I feel like I need to get through a cycle of two fights with John Jones, with no troubles and no allegations or anything, and then all of a sudden I'll start getting excited again. But I am excited about the matchup. So I just feel like, will I be let down in any way? Hopefully not. But they all have their different reasons for me, but I would say T-City and Holloway's got me the most jacked.
Great
I think
matchup.
It's going to be a great fight. So there you have it. This is the way the voting came in. 46% said UFC 232.
Wow.
In second place. That's all December right,
big,
29th.
Big yeah. portion there. Okay.
Jones and Gustafsson. I'm sure Jones did the heavy lifting there. Second place was UFC 231, which is the one I mentioned, the one in Toronto. T-City challenging Max Holloway. Third place was UFC 230, the one in New York with DC and Lewis. And in fourth place was Bellator Hawaii, 8%. 867 votes came in. Thank you very much for participating in today's Daily Debate, Junkie Nation. We'll be right back after this break.
King Kong has a lot of shit on them. Like a lot, especially goes. Here, Gorgeous George and goes.
All right, we're back. More shout-outs in the YouTube chat. Did you guys know Cake Daddy 2226 is showtime?
Cake Daddy?
Yeah, Cake Daddy 2226 is showtime.
Goes looks really uncomfortable with that name. You look really like he had a bad
You're
taste.
Already showtime. Just be that guy.
I guess so, yeah. Daniel R., shout-out to him. Let's see here. I got a question here from F.A.M., 88 winning slot vids. That is a long name. He says, what up, GG? Any word on a fight party for November 10th or too early? That's the show in Denver. And, you know, for these fight nights, we don't really have fight parties, honestly. More fight party centers around the pay-per-views. So if you're asking where I'm watching, I mean, if I'm in Vegas, I'll watch probably at home. And if I'm in California, I'll watch it at Big Ralph's, I guess. But no plans. I don't know that I've planned that far out. The only thing I might do is go to Cali next week because my godson plays his last game of the year. I kind of want to see it because it's against my former high school.
Logan.
Logan, yeah.
Weapon X.
And so that would be their season just ends in October. I've never heard of that. Usually a season ends in December, but I guess they're just starting school early and that's it. I mean, the season's just done. Now the high schoolers, they go into a playoff. That'll last a little bit longer. Something on your mind?
I just got a alert from YouTube. Narcos Mexico official trailer just came out.
Cállate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Narcos is going to overlap Chapo or something like that?
Probably, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. All right. Did you guys see Floyd blasting De La Hoya?
Nah, but they've been for the longest time just taking...
Just out of nowhere?
Yeah.
They hate each other.
Yeah.
Wow.
They can't stand each other.
Yeah.
They gave him one of his best fights.
Yeah. Split decision. You know, Floyd won on split decision. I was surprised to see that. All right. Here's the card for Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. It's been updated. Kenneth Berg versus Jorge Gonzalez. Gleison Tibau versus Efren Escudero. Waleel Watson versus Ricardo Palacios. So there's a couple more names there recognizable.
Remember Ricardo Darren Palacios?
Wynn versus Tom Lawler. And Jay Silva versus Oscar Cota. I just ran into Dave Terrell. He told me he's on the card as well. So he didn't say it in a fashion in which it's something that we can't talk about. Mm-hmm. But...
He helped put it together.
We know there's a connection there, yeah, so I told him we'd have him back. He's also going to be maybe participating in another event, but that I'll hold on to. All right, we got to get on out of here. I tried to do as many shout-outs as we could, but I want to thank our guests for the week. Richard Hunter from the Phone Booth Fighting Podcast, Vinny Magalhaes, Michael Chandler, Julian Marquez, and John Orlando. Orlando texted me. He said the chip coming out of his ass was worse
than
going in. I couldn't believe it.
Fear.
Yeah.
It can't be worse.
That's what he said, man.
It's just keeping me away.
I'm sure he'll be back when Julian does his, and we'll ask him about it. Johnny Hendricks, Ray Cooper, Rick Story, Ryan Bader, Andrew Simon, John Howard, Chris Gutierrez, Lewis Taylor, Anthony Smith, and Boss Rudin. Tonight, LFA 52 on Access TV. Give them some love, 9 p.m. Eastern, with Gutierrez and Rodriguez at the top of the bill. And tomorrow night is PFL 10. We're going to see Cooper and Shields, welterweights, middleweights, you know, fighting two times a night. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie for all that information. We are going to get on out of here. Have a nice weekend. Go out there, folks, and be a champion.